Let's welcome in our next guest, Ingol Magazine and NHL.com. It is Kevin Woodley. What's up, Kevin?
Not much. Nice to be back at the rink today. Looking forward to actually watching players in action tomorrow. It's hockey season, boys, despite this golf-like weather we have lingering today.
Yeah, it's time to get back in the rink. We talked to one of your pals, Eddie Lack, yesterday. And he said, you know, for goalies, training camp is always, you know, good to kind of get the feel of the puck and get back into it. Is kind of ramping up, you know, maybe not from the getting to game fitness level that we hear so many skaters talk about, but what is it for goalies that is so important during training camp?
Well, I mean, for Thatcher Demko, less so because he's been here and working with Ian for several weeks now, but you know, for a lot of guys, it's getting that time with the goaltending coach before they take the ice with teammates. Like, that can be an important part of this process, especially if they've been stuck mostly doing a lot of those sort of informal pro skates / shinny, where you can, you know, frankly, build a lot of bad habits because there isn't, you know, I was going to say there isn't much. Frankly, there's not any defensive structure in them. It's just really wide open. So getting that time with a goaltending coach is a part of it. And then, as Eddie said, it's that game speed. And I think in preseason as well, without the pressure of results, especially if you're a guy who's been around for a while and you're established, that's a really important time to sort of feel your way into a game environment where it's not just the speed of the shots. It's not so much about that because you felt that in practice. It's finding pucks through traffic when those bodies are all flying all over the place and with a purpose more so than you will see even in an inter-squad game or, you know, in a scrimmage type environment, even once camp starts. So, you know, we heard it from Holtby last year, right? Like, part of his struggles were he was trying to make changes through the time he had with Ian in an abbreviated training camp, but never got a preseason to play with them and feel comfortable executing on them without pressure. By the time he was in there trying to make these things work in a game environment, it mattered. Like, wins and losses were counting. They were off to a slow start and there was no margin for error. So, you know, getting to sort of play with things you're doing differently in a preseason environment, finding pucks through traffic, through those bodies, and the pace of that, those are all really important parts of preseason for NHL goaltenders.
Well, and when you look at Thatcher, he's coming into this training camp as a starting netminder, and he was on with Scott Rintoul and Jamie Dodd earlier today, and he kind of talked about his preparation heading into the season. What type of workload should a goalie put in into an offseason when he's entering into a year as a starting netminder, especially for a Canadian team that has to travel as much? So do you have to take a step back? Like, how do you think his offseason went, and how much work can you really put into an offseason when you have that big of a workload looming?
That's interesting. It kind of depends on guys and certainly, like, ages and experience and things like that. Like, Carey Price, for example, mm-hmm. even in healthy seasons, obviously he had the knee surgery this year, but, like, Carey shuts it down. Like, he puts the gear away in the garage, doesn't see any pucks, in a typical offseason till August. Other guys will take a month where they want to be completely away from it off the ice and start to skate once or twice a week. And then there are some guys that it's like a week and then I want to be right back on the ice. So I do think it is personal preference a little bit. But in terms of the work, Sat, it's like you can't just relax in the summer because, oh, I'm going to be really busy in the season. Like, I talked to Thatcher for the Ingol Radio podcast. We ran his interview a couple of weeks ago and we sat down for 45 minutes. And one of the focuses, and we heard this from Markstrom before, was they needed to train differently in the off season in order to be able to comfortably put their bodies in some of the positions that some of the techniques they'd learned from Ian Clark that they hadn't known before. So, different ways of working out. And that requires, anytime you're trying to make changes to your body, that requires work, that requires an intensity level. So you still got to leave time for sort of downtime, but, you know, and sort of not over, like, burdening that engine, yet you got to keep that sort of engine running and test it and stretch it because you're going to need that during the season. I know the weeks where the pro camp was going on here with Derek Popke, Thatcher would skate in the morning with Ian for an hour, and then they kind of picked and choose what days he would go out there for a second hour with the pro group with that in mind, understanding that it's not just, yeah, some days you take it off because it is about conserving energy for when training camp and the season starts, but other days you need to sort of rev that engine and test it and stretch the legs and make sure that you can endure that type of workload. And you can't just sort of wait till the season starts to test that.
In-season workload is another question on Thatcher Demko as well. You know, he's got a veteran behind him again this year, but the situation is different. He's the bona fide number one. When we talk about like that breakdown, that ratio, what's it going to look like this year, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can pick ideals and targets and things like that, and I'm sure they have them in mind. But I think, and we've seen this in years past, whether it's with Jacob or even when Anders Nilsson was here. Like, it very much is something that changes on the fly depending on how the goalie's playing and how the goalie's feeling, whether he needs rest, whether he needs time with the goalie coach because details have slipped. And this is a group that I think has been very willing to listen to their goaltending coach when those plans shift and understand that, hey, like, even if it means sometimes putting the guy that might give you the best chance to win that night, giving him a night off because he'll give you an even better chance three nights later and for a longer period of time, for three or four games, as opposed to let's get one more out of him. Like, they've really been really good at finding that balance and walking that line. I mean, top of your head, you're probably looking 55-27 as an ideal split. I don't know that you're going to see a lot of goaltenders. You know, Vasilevskiy's kind of a freak that way. Maybe Connor Hellebuck because they ride him so hard in Winnipeg. But with travel back, with no taxi squad to sort of give your number one a day off in practice, I don't know that you're going to see anybody play a whole bunch more than that this season, especially goalies like Demko, who I expect to be in that Olympic conversation. If your goal is to not just make the playoffs, but to actually have success there, this schedule gets really condensed coming out of that Olympic break. And so you can't just wait until after the Olympics to manage that workload. You have to sort of manage those energy levels the whole way through. So I don't know what their targets are. I would say 55 is probably at the high end. Thatcher may want to play more, but just the way this season shapes up, I could actually see it being less if Yaro, if Yaro looks like the Yaroslav Halak of 2 years ago and 3 years ago, as opposed to the hiccup that we saw last year in Boston.
What's key for a goalie when they, you know, get up there in age and maybe don't move the same way they did when they were younger?
Is that a personal question?
I guess it could be framed that way.
Let's just say, we call it, when we don't move that much, we call it efficiency. I've fallen and I can't get up. It's interesting. It's not a conversation. It's actually a good question. And makes me think it's something I'd like to talk to Yaroslav about when we get into more of a one-on-one situation, not the podium like today. And I don't know that he's there physically. I think he's a guy who takes pretty good care of himself. So I don't know if it's about slowing down. I'm really, you know, fascinated to see the process between him and Ian. Outside of aging and what that may do to his game, you know, there are going to be things that Ian sees that, you know, he may think can change for the better, become more efficient, less reliant on movement. The thing is, Yaro's always played a game that was about efficiency and middle of the net. He's not hyper-aggressive. He doesn't put himself in bad spots. He forces you to beat him. It's always been a big strength of his. So I don't know, you know, how extreme those changes will be, but I also don't expect them to start right away. Like, Ian recognizes that he has a veteran here, and where Holtby came in really eager to make a bunch of changes and really on board with it, I think there's going to be more of a feeling out process here in terms of really getting to know not just Yaroslav Halak as a goalie and as a person, but what he believes, because you can watch it on tape and see what you think are their strengths. I can talk about middle of the net, making guys beat you. But what does he think are his strengths? What does he need to feel good about his game? When he's hitting spots, is that the key? Are there drills that make him feel good about how he's moving in the net, how he's playing, that build his confidence? And that process hasn't really had a chance to start. I think they've only skated a couple of times. And so where I think we saw a lot of big changes being asked of Braden Holtby last year right out of the gate, I think this is going to be a slower process with Yaroslav Halak. You know, and that's in credit apart to the fact that, you know, he's a hell of a goalie. He's had a really good career. And I'm not sure they see as big changes, or sorry, see big changes being as necessary in Yaro's case compared to, say, Braden last year.
Kevin Woodley is our guest, In Goal Magazine at NHL.com here on The People Show on Sportsnet 650. And Kevin, looking around the league, a few RFA goalies have signed their contracts. Elvis Merzlikins with the Columbus Blue Jackets and Cal Peterson, the goalie, with the LA Kings. And the numbers are kind of similar to the contract Thatcher Demko signed. Merzlikins slightly more on a longer-term deal, and Cal Peterson also $5 million, but on a three-year term. Was Thatcher Demko kind of the market-setting contract for these guys?
Yeah, there's been some other ones, right? Shesterkin got more, you know, with less experience than some of the other names. You know, Grubauer is a UFA, but was still under six. It's kind of, you know, it is kind of interesting to see that. You know, I know it's interesting. The $5 million contract, I think a lot of people, and I know other teams, used Robin Lehner's 5x5 as sort of a ceiling for a lot of these guys. The contract he signed with Vegas. I know that was Colorado's ceiling with Grubauer. They wouldn't go past that number. So I don't know if it's necessarily just Demko. I'll say that, you know, I mean, I like Elvis Merzlikins, but, you know, $2 million more over the five-year term, like maybe there's a Columbus tax there to stay there after losing all their stars. But, you know, I think Demko's deal looks really good compared to some of these. So Cal Peterson is another guy who I actually would put there right up there with Demko. Like, he's a guy I had for a breakout last year, even with Jonathan Quick sort of serving as a ceiling in terms of, you know, his deployment and role. And up until the sort of tailing off down the last month of the season, Cal was, you know, one of the best goalies in the league with his adjusted numbers. So, you know, I think if you're the Kings, you might have liked to have locked him up for a little bit longer than that, although he is already 26. But I guess they probably learned their lesson about going long-term with goaltenders because they're still paying the other guy that they signed for 10 years all those years ago.
Well, Kevin, there's been discussion, or at least ideas coming up that, hey, get rid of the e-bug system and have a permanent extra goalie, a taxi squad goalie. Would you agree with that? And, you know, a goalie essentially the third one that's hanging around just in case, especially during COVID times and even beyond that.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's funny because it's something I've talked about and sort of talked about and sort of pitched the concept of a practice goalie, you know, many times in the past. It's something I've actually talked about with goalie coaches around the league. A lot of them would like to see something like that implemented. Any conversations that have gone further than that, the pushback has actually originated with the NHL Players Association. You know, in their minds, that's a job, right? And that comes with a league minimum. Like, forget that being a job where you're like, now, maybe if you're an aspiring goalie coach who's just finished playing and this is sort of a bridge between those two worlds, you know, you can come in and do it for, you know, 100K or a couple hundred K. No, the Players Association views that as, you know, like if that's a position on the team, a sort of player position, we'd want that to be a minimum. You know, I can't remember what the league minimum is now, but it's a hell of a lot more than that. So there are some sort of issues on that side of things. With a position like that, that's why you see guys like Dave Zarn, the athletic trainer for the Canucks, who will step in for a practice, especially when Ryan Miller was here, would step in for a practice so that Ryan could, you know, save his energy for a game the next day, would come in halfway through. And you see situations like that around the league. Yeah, but I love the idea. I know goalie coaches have loved the idea for years and pitched the idea. One of the challenges you do run into, and I think that's where formalizing it and finding a guy who, you know, maybe was a professional or played at that significantly high a level would help, is you get pushback from players, sometimes coaches, but players as well. Like, they don't want to shoot on the 45-year-old beer leaguer you brought in off the bench for the second half practice. They want to shoot on NHL goaltenders. So I like the idea. I know Mike McKenna pitched in a piece. The concept of practice goalies is something, you know, like I said, talked about that one for years, and I know there is interest. I just think logistically there are more sort of problems that have been come up anytime it's proposed that they haven't really been able to sort of work around, or there's not enough people that like it or push for it hard enough to ever get past the pushback that comes with at the start of that conversation. And that is, this should be a position on a team, on a roster, not something you just, you know, hire and pay privately at a lower level.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. We'll be seeing you at the rink.
Looking forward to it, guys.